If you would, take your copy of God's Word and turn to the fourth book of the Bible, the book of Numbers. I don't know about y'all, but I'm sort of a creature of habit, and not getting to preach last Sunday, it just sort of got me all out of kilter. In fact, this morning, we were having our men's prayer time as we do every Sunday morning, and Jeff was praying first and said, "Lord, I want to pray for our pastor today as he preaches." And as I was sitting there praying with him, I was saying, "Yes, Lord, we do. Who is that?" I sort of forgot that I'm a pastor there for a minute. But it's good to be back with you. I miss being with you. And I appreciate Brother Larry filling in for me at such short notice last weekend. Hopefully he didn't embarrass me too much. So I appreciate him. So if you would, stand with me as we read beginning in verse 1 of chapter 14. We're going to look some back in chapter 13 too as we go through this story, but for our purposes right now, we're going to read verses 1 through 9 of 14. "That night all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, 'If only we had died in Egypt or in this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?' And they said to each other, 'We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt.' Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there, Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, 'The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, He will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, that if we are in Christ, You are with us. Father, I think sometimes we forget just how powerful the relationship that we have with You really is. And just how powerful it is and how useful it is for us to be in a relationship with You, and how it empowers us to face all kinds of things, even the unknown. God, as we think about 2011, we wonder where the past year has gone, but we look forward to the next year with some anticipation and with some fear, with some excitement, and with some worry. God, help us to know. Help us to understand that with You we don't have to be afraid. That we can live fearlessly because we have faith in You. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the example that You give us from Your Word. May we hear it and follow it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Many years before what we read this morning, God said to a man named Abraham, in Genesis chapter 17, He says, "The whole land of Canaan, which you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God." This is the land we're talking about. This is the land in question here in Numbers chapter 14. God had already instructed Moses at the beginning of 13 to send out some explorers, some people call them spies, to see the land, to see who was there and what they needed to do to take the land, to see if the land, what types of produce the land was producing and what they would need to do to prepare to go into the land. And everything was set in place for them to take the land. Listen, and what's very important here, God had already promised them this land back in Genesis 17. And so everything was there, everything was ready, everything was ripe for them to take the land that God had promised them. But something happened. 12 spies went out. 12 explorers went out to look at this land. 12 came back. So they all came back. But 10 of them that came back told a story of fear. They told of things that scared them, and they talked about these giant people and how we would never be able to overtake these large people. They're scary people. And they continue to forget this simple fact. God had promised them this land. Except for Joshua and Caleb. They remembered. You look there in verse 30 of chapter 13, and it says, then Caleb silenced the people as they tell this story of fear and being scared of what was going on and what they saw. But Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Caleb had faith that they could do this. So did Joshua. And this was the story that they told. So there was two different accounts of what was going on in the land and what they had to look forward to in taking this land. So the people had a decision to make. Who are we going to listen to and who are we going to follow? Are we going to follow the way of fear and turn and go back? Or are we going to follow the way of faith and press on as God promised? Now, for me, there's an easy application here as we face a new year. You know, there's a lot of things that have happened. There's a lot of things that may happen that we are looking at right now, whether it be personally or as a church. There are things that are going to happen in this coming year. Things that we might consider giant things, giant situations, giant circumstances. And we can face those. We can look them square in the eye, and we can turn and run with our tail between our legs, or we can stand in faith, our faith in God, and face them. And that's the title of the message this morning, is simply facing the giants. And God has promises and blessings in store for us in this coming year. Can I tell you that? Because I know that's my God. He's a God of blessings and promises. And He has many of those in store for us this year. But we're going to miss out on those if we live in fear of all the circumstances and things around us. So as we think about this idea of facing giants in the next year, I wanted to share with you a few things that I see from this passage. And the first thing is, to face the giants, we must have faith. Now, I know that's a simple thing. You may think, well, that's just cliche. Well, you got to have faith to do this. You got to have faith to face these things. But whether it's cliche or not, whether you've heard that 1,000 times, guess what? It's still true. You got to have faith. Joshua and Caleb brought back a favorable report concerning this promised land. Now, was their favorable report, their promising report, was that based on a faith in themselves? No. It was based on faith in God. They saw the big people too. They saw the giants of the land, as they call them. They realized what they were up against, but their faith was not in themselves and their ability to take the land. Their faith was in the promise of God. He said, this is the land I'm going to give you, and they believed that. Here's the big deal. Sometimes, you know, we all face unique circumstances. You're facing things in your life right now that I'm not, but I will face things, we will face things in this coming year that are similar but also different. We will face all kinds of unique circumstances, but the people who live in fear of their circumstances have the danger of leading themselves into depression and confusion and pain. And we see this happen all the time, don't we? We see people, whether it's in the face of resistance or bad memories or some sort of conflict that they see or some sort of present pain, and their whole system just shuts down. Their lives are thrown into a tailspin, and it's like they're rendered utterly useless. Have you ever been there? It's like the weight of the world and the circumstances surrounding you just weigh so heavy down upon you that you're just, wow, you're just there. It's like you're just struggling to exist. And that's what happened to these 10 spies and consequently to the people. They were pressed down. They were whooped already. I mean, listen to what they say. And I'm going to add a little sarcasm to this as I read it, just so you kind of get the idea of what's going on. Does that not all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud? All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt or in this desert, why in the world is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us just to go back to Egypt?" And they said to each other, "We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt." They had thrown a pity party for themselves, had they not? They had. They had lost sight of some very important facts. See, when we're faced with giants, we can either cower in fear or we can stand in faith. Caleb and Joshua and Moses and Aaron, they had remembered some very important things that we need to remember. Number one, as we think about the faith, we must have faith in the promises of God. Look on the front of your bulletin this morning. What passage of Scripture is there? Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." That's a promise of God. And it doesn't end there. There are many promises of God throughout His Word. He has promises. He has promised us. He's doing a work in our lives. And we must have faith in Him and the promises of God and to face the giants and the circumstances of our life, because God's our only source of hope and deliverance in the face of bad circumstances or the giants that we face. But not only faith in the promises of God, but faith in the power of God. I mean, think about it. Think about the power that's been displayed by God in Scripture. Think about the power He displayed in the circumstances around Noah and the flood. And we get to see rain and we see areas flood, but think about it. The whole earth was flooded. That's the power of God. And then one of my favorite displays of God's power is there on Mount Carmel. When God said, "You know what? You're not going to mock me anymore, prophets of Baal. I will show you who is really God." And God showed up in a powerful way. But is there more powerful display of God than when He sent His very own Son? And His Son walked this earth, and His Son taught with power from up on high, and His Son performed miracles above all miracles, because He was empowered by God. He was God. And then in God's power, He nailed our sin to the cross. And then in God's power, He was raised from the grave. And again, we will see God's power when He returns. We have faith in God's promises and in His power, but also we have faith simply in the person of God. You know, when Moses was commissioned to lead the people, and he was all worried about being able to tell the people, who am I supposed to tell them sent me? Who am I supposed to tell them sent me? And what does God say? Tell them I am sent you. Tell them I am sent you. They don't need any other name. I am God. Amen. Just tell them I am. Tell them that I am sent you. And that's all you need. When you think about the person of God, you know, I asked Paulette to leave up some of these banners. These banners, there's some in the back, the Alpha and the Omega, the Messiah King, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. All of these names from cover to cover that talk about our God, that mention the name of God, they all tell us about the person of God. And there's not a single word that describes God, His Son, the Holy Spirit, that we cannot have absolute faith and trust in. Faith in the promises of God, the power of God, the person of God. Because it takes faith to face the giants. It took faith for them. It was going to take faith in them to face these giants. And Moses and Aaron and Caleb and Joshua, they had that faith. And so many times in this world, we want to put our faith in people or systems that this world has set up. But all of those things will fail. But folks, a faith that is placed in the very heart of God is never a misplaced faith. It is the perfect place to put our faith and our trust. Because we can trust God, His promises, His power, and simply the very person of God. To face giants, we must have faith, and to face giants, we must live fearlessly. Think about that for a moment. And as you look back into the end of chapter 13, it says, "But the men had gone up with Caleb and Joshua, said, 'We can't attack these people. They are stronger than we are.' And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, 'The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw were of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them.'" Now contrast that with what happens here in verse 5 and 6. "But then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were there among those who explored the land. They tore their clothes and they said to the entire assembly, 'The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, He will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up.'" Do you see the difference? You see the difference of attitude there? You have one group who were at this very moment are living in fear of what was in front of them, and you have one very small group that were living fearlessly of what was in front of them. You had one group that had what many Christians and Christian churches have these days, and that's a grasshopper virus. You know, they look at the problems and circumstances that lay in front of them, and they feel like they're going to be eaten alive by those circumstances. I mean, we're guilty of looking at our problems and deciding that we're too small, we're ill-equipped to do anything about them, so we allow ourselves to get whooped before we even get into battle, before we even have a chance to face them. Here's the deal. Whenever we face a giant problem, the first place we should look is not at ourselves in comparison to what the problem is, but the first place we should look is at God. And in any circumstance, any problem, any giant that might be in front of us is nothing compared to God. If we are in Christ, if we're walking according to His Word, and we're living in the power of the Holy Spirit, folks, we have nothing to fear. We can live fearlessly. You know what? Even death should not scare us if we're walking with Christ. It really shouldn't. Because if we're in Christ, we have that relationship with Him, then death is nothing to us. Because if we die, guess what? We are in the presence of Almighty God. What's wrong with that? We can live fearlessly. I mean, think about it. When all hell seemed to break loose on Job, he never wavered in his faith. I mean, even the old devil had to get permission to mess with Job. Think about Daniel. Daniel stood firmly and lived fearlessly in the face of persecution, even though it meant dinner with the lions. And God showed up then too, didn't He? But let's think about a more personal level. You know, when the old devil comes knocking at your door and tries to drag up a bunch of mess, a bunch of baggage that you've left behind long ago and throw it in your face and tell you how sorry you are and how sinful you are and how worthless you are, you can live fearlessly in that too. You want to know how? You say, "Listen, old devil, I know my God and I know His Son Jesus. And I know that all that mess that you've been dragging up, I know that it was nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ. And I know that my God, and in a special way that only God can, has forgiven and forgotten all that stuff that you seem to want to drag up into my life." That's living fearlessly. That's living without fear. You see, for us, if you look there, the very first part of verse 9, they pleaded with the people, "Do not rebel against the Lord." Folks, for us to live in fear, it's rebellion. for us to live in fear, knowing what we know about God and knowing the relationship that we have about God, for us to live in fear and allow those fears and circumstances and giants just to weigh us down and to throw us into that tailspin and to render us utterly useless, that's sin. It's saying that we don't have a faith in God. We don't trust that God is who He is and can do what He can do. Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb, they remembered this. They looked at any fear that they might have had, especially in the face of these giants that were in the land. And look what it says there. It says, "Don't be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up." They will not swallow us up. We will swallow them up. That's living fearlessly. That's recognizing and having a faith in a God who is bigger than any circumstance that lays before them. We live in faith. We live fearlessly. And I think something that we have to see here, and the third thing I want to share with you, is that in the face of giants, we must see as God sees. This is what I mean by that. There's a very simple, important truth here. See, when we face giants in our life, we must realize that many times God has allowed those things in our lives to help us grow in our faith with Him. That's a simple truth that we need to understand. That God allows those things. You know, Romans 8, 28 and 29 talks about how God is in the process. If we're in Him, we have that relationship with Him. He's in a process of conforming us into the likenesses of His Son. And many times the horrible circumstances in life that come about us are there for our growth. To bring us and draw us closer to God. So instead of allowing every problem, every sour relationship, every defeat, every crisis, every issue to be a source of fear and a source of worry, we need to be able to look at them as God sees them and see them as an opportunity for growth and encouragement and strengthening in our relationship with Him and an opportunity for us to draw closer to God. I mean, we're guilty at times when circumstances come, we go the opposite direction instead of turning to God. Giants, folks, they're going to come this year. And guess what? When 2012 rolls around, they're going to come that year too. Every Monday, every day that ends in Y will probably have a giant. I can just tell you that. But we can conquer those things. We can. What we have to do is trust in the awesome power of Almighty God, realizing as we see as God sees, we have to realize that nothing that we face, that we faced last year, or nothing that we will face this year, has missed the sight of God. Nothing has or will catch God off guard. Nothing that we face or that we come against will send God into a tailspin and render Him utterly useless. He is unchanging. He is all-powerful. And that's who God is. And that doesn't change. And so we put our faith and trust with Him. So armed with these powerful truths of God, we can't allow the giants to send us packing home and going back to the way we were. I think seeing the giants as the Lord sees them allows us to talk like they do here at the end of verse 9. These guys say their protection is gone. There's no one protecting these folks in Canaan because the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us, so do not be afraid of them. Can I tell you something? The giants that await you and me and this church in the next year, they have no protection. You want to know why? Because the Lord, folks, is with us. So do not be afraid of any of them. Any of them. You know, I can't begin to predict. I'm not here to predict what kind of giants you're going to face in the next year. There are some pretty common giants to most of us. There's financial giants that we face. There's family giants. There's relational giants. There are workplace giants. There are things that face us that are pretty common to every man, woman, boy, and girl. There are also some spiritual giants. Habitual sins, things that plague us. There's also that lack of salvation that some of you may have. That lack of relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That is also a giant that you may have to face this year. I don't know what all you will face. I do know that the challenges will be there, but I do know also that none of them are more than our God can handle. None of them are. And the giants you face right now, they may be ugly, nasty ones. Or they may just be a simple one that's just got you messed up. And either way, your ability to face the giants that are there that come towards you, your ability to face them comes from your decision either to walk in victory or to just admit defeat and draw back. And what's real interesting, and this is what I find, and what God has laid on me this week as I studied this passage, is that for us to walk in victory with God, you know where it begins? It begins when we surrender everything to Him. That's not the way we think sometimes. That victory begins with surrender, but with God, that's the way it is. If we want to claim victory over the giants in our lives, then we must surrender everything to God. So my question to you as we come to the close this morning is, what is it, number one, that you're facing? And two, what is it that you need to surrender to God? Let's pray. So what are your giants? What giants are you facing this morning, folks? Think about it for a minute. What you face may have been one of the things I mentioned, one of the examples I gave. It may be something that many of us would never even fathom that's going on. But it's something that has brought fear to your soul, your very heart. And can I tell you that God is bigger than that. And He doesn't want you to bear that burden, to face that giant all by yourself. Folks, in order for us to face those horrible circumstances or even the most simplest problem in our lives, we must surrender it all to God. Every ounce of our being, every bit of our heart and soul, our mind, all of our strength, we have to be willing to say, God, it's all about You, and I can do nothing apart from You. I need You and only You. I don't know about y'all, but I've tried doing this thing and fighting these battles on my own, and I'll just tell you, I fail miserably every time. And even if I have some sort of short victory, I always revert back to the same thing. And I know I'm not alone on that. Again, I don't even begin to try to predict what we're going to face in this coming year, but I want to challenge you to join with me in standing in victory because of our faith and our trust in God. You know, this morning, the thing that may be the biggest obstacle in your way right now is the fact that you do not know Jesus Christ personally. You do not have a personal relationship with the Creator of the world. The relationship with the Heavenly Father, that personal, lasting relationship, begins when we give our life to His Son, Jesus. The Bible makes it very clear. Jesus said Himself, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. John reminds us in 1 John that he who has the Son, Jesus, has life, but he who does not have the Son does not have life. It begins with Jesus. It's very simple. And if you're here this morning, you'd be willing to admit, you know, Brother Matt, my first step in this new year, it's only 2 days old. The most important thing I need to do right now is to have that relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, it's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. And there are many here that can testify to that very fact. And if you're here this morning, you'd be willing to admit that. In just a moment, we're going to stand. We're going to begin to worship together. We're going to sing a song that's very important and very applicable right now to what we've been talking about. It's "I Surrender All." God calls us to surrender all, everything to Him. And for you this morning, giving your life to Christ, surrendering everything to Him and beginning that relationship with Him is the most important thing you need to do right now. When we stand and sing this song in just a moment, I want to challenge you just to step out, bring somebody with you, and say, you know what, and come down front and just tell me, Brother Matt, I need to give my life to Christ. What a way to begin this new year. I can't think of a better way. You know, maybe others here this morning, there was that time when you gave your life to Jesus Christ. You belong to Jesus. And yet you continue to run in fear from certain things in your life. And my challenge to you this morning is to surrender that. Surrender it all to the Lord. And walk in victory. Now this surrendering is something we'll have to do every single day, folks. It's not something the devil wants us to do. I guarantee you that. Will your prayer be on January 2nd, 2011, from this day forward, that you will surrender all to Jesus Christ each and every day? That's my challenge to you. God, we love you and we thank you. We thank the opportunity to study your word. And we know how this Israelite story turns out. God, I pray that's not the case for us today. I pray that we will stand in faith, that we will live fearlessly each day of this year, and that we will see things as you see them. We see them with kingdom eyes instead of our own eyes. God, we love you and we thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me?